Good evening. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 tonight, and a title lesson, Church, Jesus is Aware. Sometimes, and what we're going to do, we're going to look at four congregations, and we're just going to look at a few verses, not at all that is being spoken, but just a few verses. And I want you to see the awareness that Jesus has for the church. Sometimes people think when the book of Revelation talks about the churches, they want to include every religious idea, every denomination. And that's not what the churches are. The reason the churches are plural, there was one congregation in each city. There weren't multitudes. And he's addressing his church in each of the places in Asia Minor at the time. And what we do, because of our surroundings and because of our humanness, we always see everything with our eyes, and that's how we determine things. And it sometimes obscures our thinking that we forget that Jesus is aware what is going on in the church. He's aware of every individual. He's aware of every act. He knows what's going on. And we need to come to believe that. He understands the spiritual condition of each congregation. Us in Jeff City, Jesus is well aware of our spiritual condition, because he goes and he expresses back in chapter 1 of Revelation that Jesus stands in the midst of these lampstands, and these lampstands each represented each congregation. And as Jesus moved about, he understands where they're coming from. He understands their problems, and he understands their sincerity or their lack of sincerity. We're going to begin in chapter 2. We're going to go through verse 4 and 5 that was read a while ago. And we're going to first address Ephesus. One of the things that I want you to remember, Ephesus was probably the most spiritual of all the churches. I mean, if you go back to Acts chapter 20, Paul called for the elders from Ephesus to come meet him at Miletus. Well, that was about 57 AD. 5 years later, Paul pins a letter to the church at Ephesus, we know as our book of Ephesians. Ephesians is probably one of the most spiritual letters that we have today out of all the letters written. There is great spiritual depth in that book of Ephesians. And then within a short time after writing this letter to Ephesus, the church is in trouble. It can happen that quick. They're in trouble. And he says in verse 4, he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. I mean, they have left their first love. Now, on the surface when you read that, and we've talked about it before here, on the surface when you read that, they haven't left Jesus. They've left their love of dedication for the name of Jesus. They've left their love of service to Jesus. And verse 5 begins to explain that. He says in verse 5, therefore remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. I mean, remember. I want you to remember the deeds that you did when you were first converted. You know, Jesus doesn't ask the church to do things, people in the church to do things they're incapable of. We need to understand that. That people, a lot of times, you know, we come out of the gate, we are thrilled to death with his death. We're thrilled to death with forgiveness. We want to help. We want to learn. We want to grow. And then something happens to us over a period of time. And you look at members of the church that once were vibrant for Jesus. They're not so vibrant anymore. People who used to help, they're not helping much anymore. And Jesus said, I got it against you. You've left your first love. You need to get back and you need to doing the deeds you did at first. You need to get back to that level of love to me. And he says, here's why. Or else, I'm coming to you and remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. They could stop this coming of Jesus. It's not the second coming. No. Repentance would spare the church. If you really can grasp it, and I can grasp it, Jesus says he's aware of each congregation. I'll come and I'll visit judgment on the church at that location. And if I visit that location, you know what I'm going to do to the church at Ephesus? I'm going to remove your lampstand. I'm going to take it out of its place. And think about removing a lampstand. I think about this often. A lot of times as I go to other places and I get to deal with different brethren in different places, sometimes I wonder, is a lampstand out? Is it gone? Just because you have a sign, just because we call ourselves the Church of Christ, that does not make it a reality. The reality is if you and I as the people of God keep Jesus at the first and foremost in everything that we do, that makes it a reality because we have to depend on His lampstand. We have to depend on His light. We have to depend on His direction, not ours. And so to the church at Ephesus, if you don't get up and you don't do the deeds you did at first and start loving me on that level, I'm going to take the lampstand out of the way. And if Jesus, brethren, removes the lampstand from a congregation, that congregation is useless in the community in which it survives. We're useless. We are just another religion within the world of religion with all of the mess and nonsense. That's how important this is. And that's how we need to view it. Jesus said, I'm aware. I'm aware when people slack off on me. I'm aware when people aren't committed to me. And when the church starts taking that action and that attitude, I'm going to come to that church. And I'm going to remove the lampstand out of its place if the church doesn't repent. And so now, you know, being lazy, being indifferent, I'm telling you what, being lazy, being indifferent has a drastic effect on your soul and your relationship to the Lord. Well, that's the first thing that we see. So we need to be aware of us individually. You have a purpose here. It's not just us as a whole body. It's also you individually. You have a purpose. And you need to be looking to Jesus to fulfill that purpose. If you'll come on down to verse 9 of Revelation 2, the second one we're going to look at real quick is the church at Smyrna. Look at verse 9. He says, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And the blasphemy by which those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. I mean, look at where the church at Smyrna lives. He said, I know your tribulation. He knows, he said, that they're in the midst of persecution. And he talks about it, the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews. Jesus is a Jew. And Jesus, being a Jew, knows what a true Jew is like. The Jews were running around all at the time of the first century. They were claiming they are the chosen people of God. And Jesus ended up and had to explain that a Jew is not a Jew by heritage. A Jew is one who has the faith like Abraham. And so Jesus recognizes the church at Smyrna. And he said, there are Jews running around. They're blasphemers. They're not my people. They're not related in any way to the Jewishness of my people. And he says, they are a synagogue of Satan. Jesus has no dealings with this kind of religion. Jesus doesn't work within them. And he wants the church at Smyrna to know that. I know your tribulations. I know it's tough. I know what you're going through. And not only is it tough physically having to catch flack from these people who call themselves Jews and my people, but he says, I know your poverty. They were suffering financially. And it's kind of interesting to understand that Jesus is aware when people are in poverty, his people. Jesus is aware when people are struggling in their lives. And you and I need to get a hold of that. He knows that. And he wants them to stop looking at the physical condition of lacking money. And he says, I want you to see the richness of the relationship with me. You are rich. And I understand the troubles that you're going through. And so, look in the church and we look at us today. Brethren, I don't know what's going on in all of your lives. I do know there's some who are struggling. Do you know what? Jesus is aware of that. You need to know that. I need to know that when I'm suffering through something. He knows. Look at verse 10. Do not fear what you're about to suffer. Boy, there's some words spoken. Jesus is aware what is about to happen to his people. They were going to suffer some more. How would you like to be told here at the church, there's some of you are going to suffer greater than you ever thought about suffering before? What if you knew that ahead of time? Jesus let the church of Smyrna know, you're about to suffer. Continue on. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Well, what does he know? I know you're going to suffer. Jesus is aware. And in that awareness, what does he tell them is going to happen? First off, Satan's going to be behind the attack on the church at Smyrna. Satan is behind the attack a lot of times on the church. And you know what? God knows that. Jesus knows that. God allows it. Jesus allows it to happen to the church. Why? That you may be tested. You know what? Sometimes we need to suffer. Because that's where you find out if your faith is genuine or not. When everything goes well for a family, when everything goes well for an individual, when everything continues to go well in the church, there needs to be some testing of the church to find out if the people will be faithful. And he tells them it's going to be for a short time. He uses the term 10 days. But you're going to be tested. Satan's behind it. And a lot of times the Lord does allow these things to come on you to find out what are you really made of. Do you really trust me? Do you really trust me? And then he tells them, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. There's the promise. I know life sometimes gets difficult for people. And church, here's what we do. When we hit difficulties, we have a tendency to be too fleshly. We had grown enough. We react fleshly, we respond fleshly. And rather than embrace Jesus, rather than know, Jesus knows it's hurting. Jesus knows it's difficult. But it's coming on to test you, to find out, will you be faithful? Will you embrace me? Will you take hold of my promises? That's the key. And if you'll do that, you be faithful what you go through, there is a crown of life waiting for you. It doesn't matter what happens in life. What matters is at the end of your life. And so Jesus said, when you go through suffering, you need to understand the Lord's calling you to faithfulness. The Lord's calling you to respond in the right way. Sometimes when we go through difficulties, we act like Jesus isn't even aware. Oh, I just don't know if I can do this. Does he know? He knew the church at Smyrna. He'll know the church here in Jefferson City. He'll know every single one of you. You're going through the difficulty. I'm aware. The question is, will you be tested and be faithful? Or will you respond fleshly and you gripe and complain? You have a poor me syndrome and let everybody give you the attention, you know, like it's from us. Well, I want you to come over to chapter 3. I want you to look at the third congregation we'll look at briefly. Sardis, the church at Sardis, they had a real serious problem. Look at verse 1. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you are dead. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we love Jesus. Oh, we can sing the tunes. You have a name. You're living by a reputation. That's all you've got. You have a name, he says, that you're alive, but you're dead. The only praise that counts is if the praise comes from Jesus and no one else. Church, learn it. Jesus is aware. You can praise God all you want. You can talk religious quotes all you want. You can post on Facebook all the things about God this and God that. Jesus said you got a name and that's it. You're dead. That's dangerous. That when you and I depend on a name only, and then we can back it up one step like to, you know, Smyrna back there. Yeah, you go through a difficult time, well, praising the Lord kind of goes out the window right about that time. All it is that we want self-praise, self-pity. He said, I know your deeds. You got a name that you're alive. You're dead. Verse 2. Wake up. And strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I've not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Wake up. How does the congregation, how does any congregation become dead? Think about that one. How do you become dead if you're dead? Well, death doesn't come quickly. Death comes through patterns. You start watching people a little bit here, a little bit there, a slacking of interest here, a slacking of interest there. And slowly death sets in. And they can't see it happening. Oh, but they're good at praising the Lord. And the next thing you know, that they've come to this place that they say they're alive. And yet Jesus says, you're dead. And the only hope you have is you better wake up. Individually, we better wake up. Because sometimes there is only a thread that we're hanging by, and the next battle, the next thing that comes along could be the thing to snap that thread and you're gone forever. It can happen that easily. You know what we tend to do? We tend in the church to look at our activities. Or we look at the lack of activities. And that's what we pin our life on. Well, the church here at Jefferson City, we're just not doing that much. We need to... Oh, does that determine life? I thought life came from Jesus. Activities can be the name of death. Just because we're active doing a bunch of things does not mean you're alive. Life comes from Jesus. They were depending on a name that they were alive. To Jesus, they were dead and they needed to wake up because they haven't finished what the Lord wanted them to finish. See, Jesus is calling us. And he said, you better wake up. You better wake up. Look at verse 3. So remember, he said the same thing to the church at Ephesus. Remember from where you've fallen to the church at Sardis. He said, so remember what you received and heard. Now, what is he calling them back to? I'm calling you back to the gospel that saved you. I'm calling you back to the day you received life. Remember what you have received and what you heard. And keep it and repent. Now here's the scary part. What if I as an individual or you as an individual, what if you've practiced something so long, you've depended on your idea of life so long that you can't actually be moved to come back to what you heard and repent. Sometimes people have practiced so many things so long, they can't get back. Their heart won't let them get back because they refuse to accept that they might be in trouble. Whoa. He says, so remember what you've received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know an hour, what hour I will come to you. Whew. If Jesus comes to his congregation of his people, he's not coming here to remove a lampstand. He's not testing them. He's coming to them and they will lose everything. Because they don't get back to what they heard and received. The gospel doesn't stir their heart anymore. Everything else stirs them. The gospel is not what means everything to them. Everything else means to them. And Jesus said, you're going to die. It's about to be over with. Church of Sardis, wake up. And if you don't, I'm coming in an hour you don't know and you're going to lose it all. Boy, there's a message for the church, for you and for me. Well, look at verse 4. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not sold their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now, this is the beauty I love about the awareness of Jesus. Not everybody was dead. Generality, they are. But there's a few people in Sardis, they've not walked in the arena that the rest of them have walked in. And he says, they're worthy. You see, they care about life and life found in Jesus and Jesus alone. And Jesus praises them for it. And Jesus is aware that they're not going to be part of what happens to the rest of the whole of the church. They walk with him. And he claims them. They're worthy. And then we look at the last congregation. Look down at verse 8. This is the church at Philadelphia. This is the best spiritual congregation that existed in these seven churches that he writes to. This is the best. And look what he says to them. Verse 8. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. I love this. I love this. I'm aware, Jesus said. You know what? He said, I've put before you this open door. Why do you think Jesus opened a door up to him? No one's going to shut this door for you. No church at Philadelphia, no one is going to do it. They're going to shut it. Why? Because you have little power and you've been using the little power that you have. Brethren, it's not about being grand. It's not about being magnificent. It's about you as an individual using whatever little thing that you have. Use it for the sake of the Lord. Use it to the best of your ability. And it ends up opening a door to Jesus. They were using little power. They were weak. But you know what? It opened the door to have access to everything Jesus is. He didn't say that about the other churches, the other congregations. But to the church at Philadelphia, you have little power. He says at the end of verse 8, and you've kept my word and have not denied my faith. Wow. They've kept his word. You know the churches of Galatia? You take the book of Galatians, that there's a region up there. I don't know how many congregations exactly existed in the region of Galatia. But in the Galatian churches, some of the people in there were teaching that circumcision was necessary for salvation. Circumcision needed to be added to the things. You know what? Church of Philadelphia said, uh-uh. We're not going to add anything to it. We're going to keep the Word of God. We're going to keep the words of Jesus. We're going to hold on to His power. You know, the church at Corinth. Church at Corinth is fleshly. They're fighting. They're arguing. The church at Corinth can't get along. They have lawsuits with one another. The church at Corinth was so fleshly that they're going to lose it all. Church at Philadelphia? No. We're going to use the power that we have. We're going to hold to the word of the Lord. And we're not going to deny who He is. We're going to be who you want us to be, Jesus. And Jesus said, I will make it clear. You have an open door. And isn't that what we need in times of difficulties? Isn't that what we need in our lives, is an open door to Jesus? Will you be faithful to Jesus? You use whatever little power that you have in being faithful, it opens a door, and no one's going to close it on you. And He knows that. Look at verse 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Jesus said, let's cut through the nonsense one more time. There's a Jewish synagogue here at the church, or in the city of Philadelphia. And you know what? He said, they're not a Jewish synagogue. They're a synagogue of Satan. You know what they think? They think they're the children of God. They think that they're the ones that God loves. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make them come bow down at you. How he does that, I don't know. But I know one thing. He promises it. You know why? Because I have an open door with you. I don't with them. They're going to come bow down before you. They're going to understand, I love you. You're the one I love. Not the synagogue that they claim to be. Oh, I'll make them bow. And so, you want to be an overcomer. Look at verse 10. Because you've kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Here is the greatest blessing of using the power that you have, of holding to the word of the Lord and being faithful. There is something that is happening at the writing of the book of Revelation that was going to affect the whole world. And all the world was going to be involved except this little weak congregation called Philadelphia, the church at Philadelphia. He said, you know what? This test is going to come up on the whole world and test everybody who dwells on the earth. We're fixing to send, you know, whatever it is we're going to send upon it, but you're going to be spared. You're not going to have to go through the test. He did not say to one of the other six congregations they would be spared from it. Only Philadelphia would be spared. He just told the church back there at Smyrna, you're going to be tested. You're going to go through tough times. But for the church at Philadelphia, guess what? You're not. I'm going to spare you because you have kept my word of endurance, perseverance, and I'm going to keep you. There's the open door. I'm going to keep you. Church, we need to learn this. We need to see the activity of Jesus in the church. And so for the church at Philadelphia, would they cling and keep clinging to Jesus? It led to great blessings. You and I need to see the same thing. One final thing, and we'll quit. Look over at chapter 6. Look at verse 11. This is the fifth seal that Jesus opens. And he said, there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until their number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. There were going to be brethren lose their life, and Jesus calls it ahead of time. Whatever this testing that was coming upon the earth, they're going to be killed, members of the church. Now, Jesus is calling the church, wake up, repent. Don't you slack off in your service to me. Use the power that you have. Hold to my word. Keep my word. I'm telling you ahead of time so the church can get right with their Lord at each congregation. It was real and it was coming. And we need to understand that. And so this problem was so big that they're going to die. Well, it could be coming in our day too. And the only thing is, will we be faithful? You and I need to move with all of our heart. You and I need to hold to the words of God. We need to love Jesus more than anything else in all of our lives. Because Jesus is aware of what each one of us are doing individually. And that ought to be enough in itself to provoke us. If it doesn't provoke our hearts, prick our hearts to move us to Him, then I would say you're probably too far gone for your heart to be tendered and changed. And so the messages of Jesus to the church will never touch you because He can't penetrate anymore. And we don't want to get there. We need to be faithful. We need to be humble. We need to understand that Jesus is the source of all life and nothing else. And that I encourage you. Church, Jesus is aware. The question is, am I aware that He is aware of what I do or don't do?